Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour on this Wednesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. If you joined us late, L.A. Marzulli was our guest for the first 2 hours of the show, and that just flew by. You know, we covered a lot from the rise of jihad, as the title shows, the situations that we're seeing play out more and more often here in the news, the cowardly suicide bombings and other attacks, from the Paris attack to what happened yesterday in Brussels. And, you know, this is going to continue. We see this, you know, they're all throughout Western Europe, they're herding in these Iraqi and Syrian refugees. And
well, they're not just Iraq and Syrian.
No. Yeah, hidden amongst them are these terror cells who had no intent of assimilating, only for the purpose of carrying out violence and atrocities such as what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, you know what? We've got a lot to talk about in this final hour. Before we do, folks, I got to tell you about a special, just a great website. That's nuts.com. Nuts.com. That's right, as in we're nuts, right? N-U-T-S, nuts.com. With the microphone code HH. Folks, here's what you do. Go to nuts.com, N-U-T-S.com, in the microphone box. Put HH for Hagman and Hagman. There, it'll take you to our page, and it'll say, hello there, Hagman and Hagman listener. Thank you for visiting our nutty family, actually, with a bunch of nuts hanging out. Kind of looks like Joe and I and Derek and, you know, anyway. All right. But there's a very special deal for our listeners. You get to choose 4 free gifts on the page, and there's so many to choose from. You order $25 worth of nuts and snacks, and you can easily do that because dried organic mango. Need I say more? Organic trail mix, berry mix. Man, there's so much. There's coffees and baking components, so many roasted salted cashews. I mean, any kind of nut, basically, dried fruit. And they're very, well, they, you know, if you've got dietary restrictions, of course, they can, they've got things like gluten-free snacks, healthy snacks, some of the raw snacks, organic snacks, sugar-free, if perhaps you're a diabetic. I mean, but over hundreds of flavors of coffee and teas, cooking and baking goods, chocolates and sweets. I mean, I can go on and on. But here's the deal. And we all snack. We all get hungry during the day. Why not make it nutritious, right? So go to nuts.com. In the microphone box, put HH there. Choose your 4 free gifts. Add another $25 worth of goodies to your cart and place your order. And I guarantee you what will come to your door. And the box is great because it's got all kinds of cool jokes and writing on it. I mean, even the, even when it's delivered, the delivery person will have a good laugh with you because it's fun to get too. But, the bottom line here, nuts.com, microphone code HH for your special free gifts. Really, it's a great company. It's a family-owned company. They've been in business now since 1929. Jeff, the owner, had a chance to talk with him, the head nut there. Very conscientious about quality control. We have never ordered a product that we were dissatisfied with. Let me rephrase that. Everything that we've received from nuts.com has exceeded our expectations in quality and taste. It's just fantastic. We have nuts.com around the office. We snack on this. From veggie chips to berry mix to even the supreme roasted mixed nuts. And, oh, you got to try the Southern Heat Mix, man. Southern Heat Mix. Fantastic. Oh, dark chocolate-covered almonds. Am I making you hungry yet? The mixed fruit. Delicious. You like, oh, one more thing. Do you like malted milk balls? They've got the ultimate malted milk balls. You'll ever taste the best you'll ever taste. That's nuts.com, microphone code HH, and hurry. Go there tonight. Nuts.com, microphone code HH, for your free gifts with your purchase. Joe, I before we get into the actual news about the terrorist attacks, we know pretty much that jihad is coming to this country. We know that. But you know what I found today? Remember we had the situation in Texas when we went to hear the Washburn Conference. Right before that, they changed the law where, for example, they tightened up the laws in terms of concealed carry and open carry. For example, where we stayed, it said you cannot carry a concealed weapon in there because they will, I mean, it was against the law, or open carry a weapon in there. And they've tightened up some things in Texas, no less, right? And we were kind of questioning ourselves or questioning about this. But here's what I found, and I thought this was just amazing. This by author Mark Chestnut. Okay.
All right.
Murder rises in another gun control poster city. Now, folks, you know the argument by the progressive Marxists, the people that want to take our guns away from us, restrict our rights. Obviously, we need more laws. Even Biden said we need to enact more laws because we don't have time to enforce the ones we already have. That's kind of, I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. How much sense does that make? But the murders, plural, rise in another gun control poster city. I just want to cite from this article written by Mark Chestnut. Okay, here's what he says. He asks the questions first. Why is it that cities with the most restrictive gun control laws seem to now have the fastest growing murder rates? And why, when these murder rates begin to skyrocket out of control, do city officials seem to believe that the only possible way to curtail rampant violence is by instituting further restrictions that only affect law-abiding gun owners? Because what is it, Joe, I'll ask you, what is it in the minds of, we'll say, the owner of a hotel, for example, what's going through their mind? Or the city official that says you can't carry guns here, or the state restricting your ability to carry a concealed weapon. The wiring in their thought process?
I can tell you.
Okay. What is it?
Remember when we worked as private investigators and after 9/11, and you know when we were doing the 8 hours to get to start working and spending weeks at a time out of town. We would get into these debates over President Bush, his policies,
right,
the New World Order, chemtrails, all these different things. And I saw things from a certain perception as I was, becoming more alert, or the Lord was taking the scales away from my eyes and showing me things. And as I was sharing them with you, you had a different opinion of those. And then opinions in certain areas have changed since then. To where the Lord has opened your eyes to some things that you, spoke against and didn't believe in the beginning. And this goes back to, a question that was posed to us at the conference by a young lady. How do I, basically fill the void? My family thinks I'm in a cult because I believe, in Jesus and follow that a certain way and,
right.
listen to your show and whatnot. Unfortunately, as Pastor Langford so eloquently pointed out in his sermon on Sunday in Revelation, and I think it's in 19, it talks about, well, God puts it in their hearts to fulfill his will. And he said you can look at that one of two ways. It's either God's putting something in man's heart to fulfill God's will in a way that his soul is saved, or God's putting it pouring out a spirit of blindness to those whose minds are already turned over to sin and against the truth.
I get all that, I guess.
They think they're doing right because what they're doing is right in their own mind.
But see, here's the thing. We have statistics. We have numbers that show that they are dead wrong.
Well, right. And okay. It doesn't matter. See, the facts are irrelevant. And the truth is, as you said a few weeks ago, is subjective.
Well, okay. But
so these people think they are doing something that is going to help, regardless of the facts, regardless, for some reason, they have the belief in their mind, either something that was told to them or that, you know, they heard and obviously had not done the research into the crime statistics, into the facts of the matter. And their belief system, for whatever reason, is the way it is, but they believe it is the proper or moral or right thing to do. You know, obviously, gun-free zones are where more gun violence takes place.
Exactly, because we're all sitting ducks. You walk into, and I do, look, I will not, if a store has a sign that says, you know, you can't carry your weapon in here, basically, okay? Because the store owners have that, the option to do that.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna frequent their store. I want to bankrupt. I'm gonna boycott that store.
What if I didn't see the sign?
If it's properly posted, and you know, we got into this. Yeah, look, at the Los Angeles, the murder rate is up 27.5% so far this year. The question asked by Mark Chestnut is this: will city officials target criminals or lawful citizens? All right,
now, lawful citizens,
exactly. And the bigger picture is to disarm every American. And if you're listening to this and you're not an American, whatever country, whether it's Canada or, in fact, somebody listening in Ireland right now, God bless you for listening. Mark Chestnut writes that he recently detailed how the murder rate in Chicago, for example, a city with extremely tight gun laws, is spiraling higher every day. Now, Chicago, talk about a liberal haven.
And Rahm Emanuel.
When we were in Chicago, man, I wanted to shower and get the progressive Marxist liberal dirt off of me.
And you know that Chicago is very notorious, one of the restrictest cities, gun-free zones all over the place, a gun-free city. But then Rahm Emanuel uses the excuse that they can go, well, most people just go outside the city limits. This is why we need a statewide ban on guns and statewide gun-free zones.
Exactly. And pretty soon they're going to have a national ban. And see, this is what is coming. This is part of the, and Dave Hodges talks about this. God bless that man. And people make fun of him. And Steve Quayle talks about this, and people take him to task. You know, what isn't it happening fast enough for you? Those people who say, well, that's all fear-porn, and you know, it hasn't happened yet, what? It's not happening fast enough for you. Is that the problem?
Like, you talked about the definition of a watchman. It came up this weekend also at the conference. What is the definition of a watchman? Just like it says in the Bible that all who believe in Jesus are to be ministers of his word unto the world. A watchman is somebody, you know, it's nothing special. Has nothing to do with being a prophet. Has nothing to do other than basically like a Paul Revere type thing, sitting on the wall. You see danger coming and you warn the people. That is your duty. If you see danger coming and warn of that danger, you are a watchman.
Well, exactly. Meanwhile, a lot of nitwits are out there arguing about the definition of a watchman while the house is burning down, while the enemy has breached the gate, breached the wall, while the enemy walks among us. You're busy arguing what a watchman is. Go ahead. Stay arguing. Go ahead. If that's what you want to do, do it. And meanwhile, we're going to be sounding the alarm bells.
And kind of switching gears here, you said something yesterday that I just found on Breitbart.com, that it's a point made in an article from today. And you pointed this out yesterday. Robert Jeffress, pastor of a 12,000-member First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, is rebuking talk show host Glenn Beck for his recent criticism of evangelical Christians who live in the South and are not supporting Senator Ted Cruz.
Oh, I talked to Steve Quayle about this today.
Listen to what they say. It says, although the South and the evangelicals are not listening to their God, Beck said at a rally in Utah Monday, Beck's wacko comments speaks for itself, Jeff Ress tells Breitbart News. However, by using the phrase their God to refer to the God we evangelical Christians worship, Beck is finally admitting that the true God of the Bible is different than the God of the Book of Mormon.
There you go. Enough said. We don't worship the same God. He just admitted it.
Yep, and he even gives accolades to Beck, saying that... here, where is it? Here,
he says,
however, referring, I congratulate Beck for his honesty in differentiating between the two. Jeffress added, however, I'm somewhat puzzled that Beck claims to know how the God Christians worship would vote in the Republican primaries. Beck, a Mormon, has endorsed Cruz and has spoken on his behalf numerous rallies around the country. One prominent academic who specializes in American religion takes exception to Beck's comments as well. Assuming that Mr. Beck is referring to evangelicals who vote for Trump, I would make a distinction that Beck does not. A Bible certainly offers principles on how to think about government and politics. The Bible does not, however, tell us which individual candidates to vote for. Dr. Thomas S. Kidd, a distinguished professor in history and associate director for the Institute of Studies at Religious at Baylor University in Waco, Texas, tells Breitbart News.
Right. Well, all of this together, you know, we kind of got off on a tangent there with Cruz and Beck, but I just want, just briefly allow me to go back to what I was talking about here, and then we can go back to the use of their God, okay, in the Beck statement. Because I've been getting a lot of emails from supporters of Glenn Beck saying, well, he about the stabbing statement, okay, saying that I'm a fool for believing that that was meant for I'm a fool for believing that it was meant for Trump. You know, people saying it was taken out of context. Okay,
and a few of the emails I'll say, you know, were listeners who had the right intention. You know, the kind-hearted emails trying to explain.
Some were kind-hearted.
Yeah.
Some were.
Well,
some called me a fool. Yeah, I understand that. Look, you know. Wow. All right. Let me just get through this gun control thing, because this is where we're headed right now. If you don't think for one second that they're going to take your guns away, as Steve Quayle said.
Or get to a point where it's not going to matter if you have guns or not from what they do.
Pretty much, yeah. You're exactly right, because we're fighting. We are going to be fighting, and Russ Dizdar, every one of the Watchmen, every one of the people that hear the Watchmen conference will be on our show. So, you know, hang tight, because you're going to be hearing a lot of stuff, and thank you, Mike and Jeannie, for making them available. But having said that, look, the murder rate in Chicago, a city with just extraordinarily tight gun laws, is growing higher every day. Through the last week of February, the city had recorded 95 homicides since the beginning of 2016, a troubling increase compared to the 47 the same time in 2015. The Chicago Tribune reported the number of people shot had more than doubled, with about 420 victims through the 26th of February, compared to 193 during the same time last year. So now a report from L.A. shows that the murder in that gun control poster city, this according to, again, Mark Chestnut, they're up a whopping 27.5% from this time last year, and double-digit increases in robbery and aggravated assaults accompanied the rise of murders. So what's the solution to such out-of-control violence, largely perpetuated by young gangbangers fighting over drugs and turf? Well, like Chicago, much of the murder increase is related to street gangs. But so what's the solution for such out-of-control violence? To California officials, the logical solution, of course, is more restriction, more restrictive gun control laws. This Gavin Newsom, the lieutenant governor, is pushing a package of restrictions and a ballot initiative he wants to throw out there in November. And he consider this, okay? Consider this. Now, folks, think about this, because this, if it's not already in your state, it's coming to your state. One proposal would ban possession of and confiscate. See the word confiscate there? See, people say, oh, it's not. It's just about registration. They're not going to confiscate. No, they're going to confiscate hundreds of thousands of lawfully possessed magazines capable of holding more than 10 rounds. Why would you need more than 10 rounds to hunt quail or duck or deer or, you know, geese or whatever you hunt, cows? When they, look, you know what, I don't
it's
hunt.
It's not the point.
I don't hunt, but
it's
when they
the
put
point.
When
if I want,
cows in the season, I'm going to.
If I want to go hunting with 100,000 rounds.
You doggone right.
I will.
The second, see, clearly these people, these politicians don't understand what the Second Amendment is all about. The Second Amendment has nothing to do with hunting. The Second Amendment has nothing to do with, the Second Amendment is there to protect every other liberty that we have, including the First Amendment. And we're about ready to lose the First Amendment. You know why? Well,
because the Constitution doesn't
apply. Okay, take a breath. Take a breath. Yeah, Doug. All right. But see, this Gavin Newsom says, okay, you can't have any magazines over 10 rounds. So, okay, really, that's your solution? Why would a person who owns a gun specifically to rob, to rape, to kill, even care about such restrictions? It's already illegal for them to possess a firearm. They could care less about another magazine limit. Another proposal to require licensing of all ammunition vendors. This is coming. Oh, it's a backdoor gun control. Folks don't fall for this. Newsom also wants to require ammunition buyers to undergo a background check before they can purchase any ammunition. So here's the deal in California. Here's what Newsom wants to do. You walk into a Walmart, you want to buy, see that the 22 long rifle shells there you want to go plinking with? I'm going to have to do a background check on you. So now you got, Walmart, people, doing, you know, background checks. Really? Okay. Lastly, in Newsom's proposal, that would turn law-abiding citizens into criminals, and that, Joe, that's what they want to do. They want to turn us into criminals. You see, lastly, here it is. Should they fail to report, let's say someone steals your firearm or you lost it. Sometimes, okay, if I know people who have had armed weapons, pistols from World War II, in their home, and through a couple of moves, you know, all of a sudden, where is it? I don't know. But you lose it, for example, you fail to report stolen or lost firearms to the police within this short time period, you're going to jail, fella. You are going to jail. You are now a felon. All right. So the answer to politicians is more laws. You know, and writes, God bless this man, Mark Chestnut, through a deliberate lack of prosecution, Obama has made America a sanctuary nation for felons, criminal gangbangers, drug dealers, repeat offenders, and illegal aliens. Or, I'm sorry, that statement is from Wayne LaPierre, NRA Executive Vice President, basically disallowing us to fight back. Okay, so, you know, the NRA in this case, and regardless of what you think of the NRA, they are pushing back on insane laws like this. And the reason I get fired up about this, and people say, oh, calm down. The reason I get fired up about this is we are fast. Can I speak for a couple of minutes?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right. I want people to know something. And where's the camera? Right there. Okay. I want people to know something. The alternative media is under assault. You heard about here the Watchman being in the conference, the speakers being targets. When I say targets, I don't necessarily mean, you know, bullet targets or whatever, but targets. There are people out there who are attempting to shut us up. And you might think, well, okay, that would be the liberal, progressive, Marxist people that want to shut us up. The Hillary supporters, for example, or the supporters of Bernie Sanders, the people who don't like liberty. Do you know who our biggest enemy is, folks?
Ourselves.
Well, that's, in a sense, yes. Our biggest enemy, the people who want to shut up the alternative media, the new media, the new media, the real media, and please listen and understand this carefully. The real people who are attempting to shut us up and shut us down That's an interesting... shut us up and shut us down. That's kind of interesting. All right, those people are some of the are self-professed Christians. Yes, you heard me right. Self-professed Christians who say that we are dealing in fear. We are profiting from fear. That we are profiting, period. Jealousy and envy is a big deal for these people. They have no clue the expenses that we have. They see, okay, well, they must be doing good because they've got a studio. They've got equipment. They've got a producer. They've got a tech, Eric the Tech, who's fantastic. But they're saying, oh, you shouldn't profit. So we are going to, what we're going to do is we're going to start these blogs. We are going to infiltrate the social media. We're going to tell people that this is not Christianity. You're not preaching Christianity, or if you are, you're preaching the wrong Christianity. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm not talking about the prosperity Christian, positive Christianity. No, I'm talking about people who are deliberately attempting to shut us down through litigation, through complaints to sponsors, through malicious and absolutely fabricated postings on social media, infiltration. That's how they're trying to shut us down. And it's the self-proclaimed, self-professed Christians who are doing it more so than the Marxist, progressive, liberal idiots out there. Yeah. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to shut us down. They're trying to shut Rick Wiles down. They're trying to shut down the Watchmen. They're trying to cause division and doing a great job of it. Many of y'all are falling into that. And we've seen this happen. I'd gladly pass the mantle of this information platform. I know what Steve Quayle has gone through now. People say, oh, well, Steve Quayle, you know, he complains and complains about the Christians. I know why now. Oh, man, I know why now. I was talking to him this morning. By the way, thank you for praying for him. He is feeling better. It's just incredible, you know, the pneumonia, respiratory ailments that he has. Thank you so much for praying for him. He is feeling better. I spoke with him this morning. By the way, Pastor Langford, I believe, and Steve Quayle together will be on Monday night. But I guess my point is this. Those people who are doing the most damage to the body of Christ, those people who are doing the most damage to the people who are attempting to get the truth out there, have breached the gates, have painted themselves as Christians, have described themselves as Christians, as the proper Christians, and have spread such malicious, such hateful information. Maybe, you know what, I don't want to be out of line by saying this. I really don't. But you know, what we're trying to do here is it's real simple. All we're trying to do is give you the ammunition, bring guests forward to give you the ammunition to be more educated, to have more information, to understand and to recognize deceit when you see it. Because there will be so many people that are going to be deceived. And it breaks my heart. It really does. And look, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a minister. We don't have a ministry. This is not a ministry. I'm probably one of the worst examples of Christians you can be. Just ask my wife and my daughter, and just ask Joe.
I'm not throwing stones here.
You know, but let me tell you something. We are right now, please listen to me. We cannot afford to fight one another. We can't afford to do anything except keep our eyes forward, identify the enemy, inform the populace, save as many people as we possibly can in whatever way that God allows us. God has given us this platform. Why? I don't know. He could have... Man, he was digging at the bottom of the barrel when he did. Maybe it's just because we showed up. Maybe it's because we said, okay. I don't know why. Because I stutter and I stammer. I don't finish sentences. I don't finish complete thoughts. I had somebody write an email to me and said, why don't you just stick to writing books and articles? You're a lot better at that. I'll give you that. But you really suck at verbal communication skills. I could show you the email. And you know what? That person's right. But here's the deal. We're in the battle for our lives right now. And it's not our earthly lives. We're in the battle for souls. And this is a message to those of you who want to continue to attempt to take us down. If that's what you've decided to do, if that's what you want to do, if that's how you want to spend your time, when I was on my knees, and yeah, I do go on my knees. I don't get visions. I don't get, you know, Steve says God talks in the shower. I got to take more showers apparently. But here's what
God
I was.
God speaks to me usually, and
here's
quiet
what I,
times on the way home and the right, drive home,
right.
And it's not an audible voice. It's more of an internal.
Well, here's the message imparted to me. Everyone is going to be accountable for their time,
mm-hmm.
for their efforts. And all I know is I want to be, I want God to, when I'm before God, Almighty God, I want Him to say, well done. Or, hey, you know what? You screwed up a lot, but you were in the game. Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, America's coach. Pastor David Langford, America's pastor in my view. At least you were in the game. And each and every one of you out there, you've got a choice to make how to spend your time. You want to spend your time tearing other people down? You're going to be accountable for that.
And tearing people down, we have to make the distinction because it's one thing for somebody to do something that's wrong in another person's eyes versus doing something that is against Scripture and or the Bible. Doing something wrong, you know, doing something that is against what the Bible says. If we're following the precepts and commandments of the Lord, but it does not is not agreeable to the way somebody sees it or believes it should be, then there's a problem.
Yeah. And you know, it's kind of funny because Monday, or what day did we get back? Monday? We had a program Monday, right? We did a program. Yeah, we did.
Yes, we did.
All right. I think it was, it was from Monday's program when we talked about what happened at the Watchman Conference, which was a resounding success.
Overwhelming.
I mean, there were people who rededicated their lives to God, who got baptized there. Joe and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many lives were changed. Hearts were touched. And if you just imagine this. Imagine a candle. And I think I used this analogy Monday, but then imagine at that conference, one candle, and everyone taking their own personal candle and taking from that flame and going out to, going back home to their homes. And that candle representing a renewed faith and a renewed inspiration, renewed information, information they didn't have, a renewed commitment. And that's spreading. The haters don't like that. The haters don't like that. And Satan surely doesn't like that. But that's what happened. And you see, well, we were talking on Monday about the increased police presence because of some inane, idiotic bunch of threats against certain speakers and against things. You saw the police presence there, right? Those of you who were there. You saw the sheriff's tower. You saw the perimeter. Maybe you didn't. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I've got photographs. I got an email from someone saying, it doesn't prove squat. It doesn't prove anything. I want to see more. I want to see documentation about the police reports. Okay. All right. Again, is that how you want to spend your time? I merely mentioned that. Oh, the only reason I mentioned that is because, you see, that's going to be the situation for all of us. We're nothing special. Joe, and believe me, ask our wives, ask our families, we're nothing special.
Well, we are, just not in the way you think.
Well, my wife makes me wear a bicycle helmet around the house, okay? And I'm kidding. But see, we serve, I guess, as an emergency alert system for each and every one of you. Because what we're going through now, I truly believe what we're going through now is what you're going to be going through sometime soon. I don't want to frighten you, but if you want to be a watchman, and I don't care what your definition of watchman is, if you want to be a person who says, look, there's trouble coming, get out of the way, or there's trouble coming, get to your Bibles and immerse yourself in the Word, or there's trouble coming, grab your Bibles, grab your ammunition, grab your gun, whatever the case might be, you know, if you want to be that watchman, the takeaway from this is this. You can be part of that watchman group yourself, because everyone born and listening to this program tonight, and everyone who attended the Hear the Watchman conference and who will attend the next one, or the conference in Colorado or Florida or whatever, or the prophecy meeting in California, or Paul McGuire's prayer and prophecy conferences, meetings. You're doing something. You're physically doing something. You're engaging the enemy by praying. You're hacking off a lot of people. You're angering a lot of people. And Satan doesn't like that. Huh? And I guess I said all that to say this. And I said Satan doesn't like that.
Doesn't like what?
You weren't paying attention.
I wasn't. I apologize. I was
no, that's all right.
Responding to an email. I thought you said something wrong. Cause
No.
Just, I heard the tail end.
I guess here's what I'm trying to say, and I cannot drive this point home enough. Again, I don't have dreams or visions. I don't have God. Well, I do, believe me. It's a freak show up there when I dream, okay?
I know. You passed it down.
Yeah. But I guess the takeaway is this, all right? How you spend your time, what you write, everything you write, everything you say, everything that you post, everything that you publish, everything that you... You know, you're going to be accountable for that. And it doesn't hurt me. I mean, you could say that I'm the biggest dork in the entire world. I don't care. I really don't care. But you know what? You know what I do care about? I care about the people who are being adversely affected or impacted. I care about the people who, because of perhaps a statement that is made, or a character assassination or whatever, whoever might read something like that, I care about that person grabbing onto something like that and saying, you know, I'm not going to believe them. I'm not going to believe Steve Quayle. I'm not going to believe Dave Hodges. I'm not going to believe John B. Wells.
Well, you know, people shouldn't.
I'm not going to believe them.
People really shouldn't believe anybody. They should do the research that is taken from the people there. But yeah, I understand.
And that's very true. You don't do your own research. But I guess what I'm trying to tell you is, and we should expect nothing less, right? Because if they didn't believe Jesus, right? And again, I'm not a minister. I'm not a pastor, but if they didn't believe Jesus and they crucified him, we certainly shouldn't expect any better treatment or any different treatment. In fact, we should
we should
embrace the worst. But I guess,
and you know, Mark 13:13, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he shall endure until the end. The same shall be saved. Also, it is another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you.
But see, Joe, they're coming after us, the Christians, the Jews, the Judeo-Christian. And even the Muslims, because they're coming after all monotheistic religions to implement the state religion. But here is the issue. We are very close to losing our ability to speak freely on the airwaves. We are coming very quickly to losing our right to bear arms. Why is that? A lot of it is because of complacency. A lot of it is because of apathy. Same thing, I guess. A lot of it is because of ignorance. But sadly, a portion of it is because of divisiveness. And what's at the root of that divisiveness? Is it jealousy, envy? Perhaps. Obviously, at the very root of it is that this Luciferian satanic mindset and agenda. But the war is heating up. There's no script. I don't have a script to say this. This is coming from my heart. The war is heating up. And each and every one of you listening to this, I just beg of you, get on your knees tonight and pray. Pray. Not for us. Just pray for the salvation of people who are being misled and misguided.
Intentionally.
All right. And as Joe said, do not believe us. Don't take our word for it. Do your own research. All right. Do your own research. And because there will come a time, and I truly believe this, when we will be silenced or censored. Well, I'm not going to be censored, and I'm not going to be silenced. They'll have to do that from prison. For me. That's just me.
No, I agree.
And you know,
you're
something.
You're gonna have to sew my lips shut.
And this comes, right now at a time, folks, when we get back from Dallas and we see all of this, we just. Sad. It's sad. What we're seeing, and Pastor Langford and Steve are going to talk about this on Monday.
Yeah, really looking forward to that show. Pastor David Langford, Steve Quayle, Monday,
yeah.
the day after the Easter holiday. If we can't,
did that make sense? All right.
I wanted to hit on this. This is a story we talked about yesterday in the last 10 minutes of the show. A story which I'm offended by. Emory University president says students are scared and in pain after someone dared to write Trump 2016 in chalk on campus. President Jim Wagner said students viewed graffiti as intimidating. Officials had to arrange a meeting for those offended to address their concerns. Counseling was offered. president of Emory University,
paid for that counseling?
Had spoken to demonstrators who said they were frightened after somebody wrote 2016 in chalk around campus. Students at the Atlanta school, which had an enrollment of more than 14,000, claimed their safe space was violated when the campaign slogan appeared on sidewalks and buildings. Wagner, the president of the Atlanta University, wrote Tuesday that students viewed messages as intimidation as they voiced their genuine concern and pain as a result. He acted after student government wrote him and slammed the university's response, prompting a meeting that led to protest. Now administrators want to track down those responsible for the controversial markings. Some commentators on the university student newspaper website told the students to grow up and accuse them of being big babies. That's an understatement. As a result, the student organization offered counseling to anybody who may have been impacted by what they had seen. I know that that image is burned in their eyes forever and can never be taken away, and the emotional pain probably is in the millions for each child who saw that campaign slogan. Maybe they should walk around with their
Wait
eyes
a second.
Shut.
What was that? What did they write? Was it
Trump 2016?
Oh, no.
Can I get on this?
No.
Can I get in on this?
Eric the Tech speaks. Come on, buddy.
All right.
Were you as... I mean, I didn't show you a picture of the Trump sign. I won't dare write his name on paper. I don't want to offend anybody here. So, Eric,
are you all right, brother? I mean, folks, drum roll. Eric the Tech, he's got his own fan club, by the way.
Yeah, he does.
Eric at Hagman and Hagman.com. Eric at Hagman. Yeah, send your fan mail to Eric. I'm going to post a couple of pictures. Go on, Eric. Go ahead.
Well, I just pictured, like, these people going into the counselor's room. And the counselor's like, why are you here? Oh, my mother died last night or something. Like, they're really down. And then, why are you here? Chalk. Chalk graffiti.
No, I mean, that's exactly what it was.
Oh, my gosh.
They're going to say that the... so anyway, these students basically had a mental and emotional meltdown from seeing a Trump 2016 sign on their campus written in chalk on the sidewalk. And they're addressing new social justice opportunities and issues. Wagner is somebody who is the student president or the president of the school here, said that Freedom of Expression Committee is meeting to address whether the person or people responsible for the chalking were in compliance with the policy of the school. However, they go on to say that he believes the broader concern motivating the protest had to do more with the ideas the chalking stood for than how they were done. The Wheel also reported that the students this week chanted, "You're not listening. Come speak to us. We are in pain," shortly before Wagner agreed to meet with them. The editor, Zach Huduck, posted an editorial addressing what happened. "I do not take lightly the fears and pains of those students who felt victimized by the Trump 2016 chalkings around campus, and I try my best to support oppressed groups on campus. The duty of a newspaper is to give a voice to the voiceless. Surpasses that of echoing those in power. I acknowledge again that Donald Trump is unlike any recent candidate who has lasted on this stage of a presidential election, and that the many Emory students' support of him holds a different connotation than support for Hillary Clinton or Josh Koscheck. It is nonetheless necessary to ask those protesters what would happen should the tables be turned. Suppose we had a different administration. Suppose it was ruled that protests such as the one on Tuesday made Trump supporters feel threatened themselves on campus. Freedom of speech works both ways, and it is a hindrance, and its hindrance affects both sides. It is not the role of an institution that is devoted to the critical education of its students to tell those students which opinions they are allowed to have." It drew a handful of scathing comments, including one which read, "While this response is inadequate in countering the anti-democratic impulses of the students frightened by chalk, it is at least better than the limp, coddling responses from administrators who are letting students with the maturity of 10-year-olds drive the conversation in campus policy."
Yeah.
It goes on to give quotes from other people. "The crybaby students forfeited any exemption or expectation of an open discussion with their demands that any talk or chalk of Trump should be banished from their fantasy land." Another read, "I have no idea how you kids will survive once you get out into the real world. People have different opinions than you, and you need to grow up." Another comment. I'm a liberal supporter of Clinton, and I want to shout at the thin-skinned crybabies on these campuses who are so obsessed with their safe spaces and so dismissive of free speech value. On Wednesday, the scrawlings were swapped with messages of anti-hate, even though Trump won the Georgia Republican primary.
But you see, this is...
I'm offended by their offense.
Well, I'm offended by your offense.
Where's my recourse for how I'm offended?
We'll have to put you into counseling.
And this goes back to a discussion we had earlier on an article I read. Actually, it wasn't even an article. It was a post by a teacher who was amazed at the level of disconnect in their student. And I don't remember if it was a man or a woman teacher, but they talked about the issue of a transgendered person. They said the students were backing up the rights of a transgendered person. If he is a man and feels as though he is a woman, he has a right to shower in the women's locker room. Well, the teacher then posed the question, what about the 20 females in that locker room who are offended by the one male who says he's a female? Well, they're the ones with the problem, the students responded.
They're the ones with the problem. See, you see how a minority can affect the majority? Look, the homosexuals, for example, at best 5%.
I just want to know when the indictments are coming for the chalking.
For the chalking? Oh.
The chalkings.
You know, you showed me that earlier, and I thought, this is even too ridiculous to
address. Well, it's on drugs today, so.
No, I know. I mean, it's just... But you're right. I got something about Lucifer. You want to talk about Lucifer?
Well, we only have a few minutes left.
Real quick, author Maria Kanis. Folks, if you don't have her book, Prepare for Persecution, go to Amazon, Prepare for Persecution. You got to get that book because we need to, and I quote, prepare for persecution. Real quick here, Wednesday. Wednesday is when the statistics for the previous Monday's Lucifer episode show up on Wikipedia.
Okay.
Listen to these stats real quick. Monday's show was titled, and I quote, "A Priest Walks into a Bar." All right. Now listen to these numbers. We have to get Matt Peterson, Daily Crow on. It had 3.82 million viewers, okay? The synopsis of the plot's this. Lucifer and Detective Decker investigate when a priest asks for Lucifer's help in stopping a drug ring because he is being headed by a counselor at the local youth center. Basically, they're twisting Lucifer into a good guy, right?
Giving evil a good name.
And I'm going to just cut to the chase here, and Maria Kanis has done a marvelous job in breaking this down, but episode 6 has now been updated to include DVD, DVR reviewers. So how many people out there have a DVD player, how many people out there have a digital VD player? Do you have a digital DVD player?
I think I have the ability to play DVDs, not only my computer, but another device in my house.
A DVD. That joke didn't land.
A digital
VD player.
Anyway. Sorry, a digital VD.
My daughter who came into the studio and brought a lady is looking at me like, Dad, come on. Really? Anyway. Episode 6 has been updated to include DVR viewers. 3.1 million viewers plus 300
I don't believe
million.
That.
6.91. Anyway, they're playing with the numbers because exactly 3.00 million viewers, when they break it down into hundreds, this happened twice. The numbers there. When you look at the numbers, you can see a cult written all over this thing. It's been exactly, for example, DVR viewers, 18 to 49 is 1.1 million. It's 11.
We're in the last couple of seconds here, but I want to ask you, is there any comparison to what it was at the debut to now? There?
I don't have that, but okay. The bottom line is occult numerology written over the whole thing. That's all. So,
folks, this week, we have tomorrow, Paul McGuire will be the guest for the whole 3 hours. And Friday, Dr. Ted Brewer will be coming on with us. Into next week, Pastor Langford and Steve Quayle will be with us Monday, and then we'll have Stan Tuesday, and we got a lot of guests in the hopper. Bill Salas will be coming on April 7th to talk about his new book.
And we're going to have Open Line Wednesdays, right? Open Line Wednesdays.
Next week, Wednesdays are going to be devoted to an hour of news followed by listener phone calls each and every Wednesday, so that's going to be fun. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us on this Wednesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our guest was L.A. Marzulli for the first 2 hours. Until tomorrow with Paul McGuire. God bless, stay safe, and have a great night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.